The brothers who finished the namaz requested to slowly make their way to the front, inshallah. InshaAllah, it will be a very important discussion taking place. With the request to participate and benefit, inshaAllah, from this. Alhamdulillah, we have a guest speaker who has come as well from Oldham. So, inshaAllah, he's taking his time out to attend. So we should, inshaAllah, take our time out to sit and benefit, inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening It's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has given us the ability to present ourselves in the masjid for the salat of maghrib And after the Salat of Maghrib, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq and the ability to sit down for a few moments to remind ourselves of the purpose of our life, to remind ourselves regarding the reason why Allah Ta'ala has created us and Allah Ta'ala has put us upon this earth and Allah Ta'ala has sent us up into this universe. So as we all know, Ramadan is coming close very soon. In the next 1 or 2 weeks, we will be encountering the noble blessed month of Ramadan, and it's very important that we are in the mindset of preparation for Ramadan and we have a plan and we understand how to look forward to Ramadan and how to maximize and take the maximum benefit from this auspicious month of Ramadan. So Alhamdulillah, we've invited a very special guest from Oldham, Muhammad Asif Saab, who's an imam at Awareness Jamia Masjid, and he, mashallah, he's been actively doing khidmat in the community, serving the community for over 10 years now. So mashallah, Marana is here on our invitation, and I do request everyone, inshallah, I'm going to call him forward, I request everyone to pay attention to the words that he has to say, inshallah. Without any further ado, Marana Muhammad Asif, inshallah, jazakallah.
Alhamdulillah wahdah was salatu was salam ala man la nabiyya ba'dah amma ba'd faqad qala Allah tbaraka wa ta'ala fi al-Quran al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid ba'd a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun sadaqallahul azim وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Respected elders, brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته It seems like an age since I was last here which if I remember correctly was probably about 7-8 years ago Now many faces have changed, some similar faces When I came in, I heard regarding the Muaddin who passed away. Was it last year? I think for everyone here, COVID has sort of like messed up timelines and messed up what we consider 1 year ago or 6 months ago or last month. I think for everyone, it's all over the place. But generally speaking, obviously I've been told to come in to speak regarding Ramadan. regarding preparing for Ramadan. Now the sad bit is that for many of us sat here, I can say with guarantee that Asda and Tesco were probably more prepared for Ramadan than us. For many of us sat here, Tesco and Asda were more prepared. Why? Because months ago they had Welcome to Ramadan up. Months ago they started selling dates. Months ago they had the stockpile of atta and chawal and ghee and tail. All of their stockpile was ready to go. Why? Because Ramadan is coming and all of these people are going to come to buy this stuff. And you think about us, 3 weeks, 4 weeks to Ramadan, and that's when we get into fifth gear of khajur, cream, double cream, bread, paratha, atta, all of these things, that's when we remember 3-4 weeks before Ramadan. But that is one aspect of Ramadan. That is one aspect of Ramadan. If you think about Ramadan as a whole, there are three things that we need to focus on within Ramadan as a whole. First and foremost, obviously, the one thing that takes up most of our time during Ramadan, which is fasting. Now, in this country, now maybe not as much, but maybe if you go back 4 or 5 years, you will all remember when we were amongst those who had the longest fast in the world. We know we had 17, 18 hour fasts where, you know, before Ramadan, our biggest concern was, will we be able to eat enough for iftar and then still have space for suhoor, because there's too short time. That was sort of our biggest concern. But if you consider that if like how we have been prescribed in our religion, like how we have been told is masnoon, how we have been told is sunnah, that to fast Mondays and Thursdays throughout the whole year, we have been told to fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of every Islamic month. If we had these practices, if we had that as a practice in our life, we would be able to build up to Ramadan, where when it came to Ramadan, we would not feel the fast as much. The fast would feel like a breeze. Why? Because we were used to fasting. So fasting is one aspect of Ramadan. The second aspect of Ramadan, which sort of takes up the second most amount of our time, is the Quran. For those of us that, you know, we have Tarawih, for example, for those of us that can take the time out to read our own Quran. So the Quran takes up a large portion of our time during Ramadan. But the same applies here. For many of us, how unfortunate is it that if we were to think about it realistically, if we were to put down statistics in our own home, that what gets used more, the TV remote or the Quran at home? Which gets used more? Which consumes most of the time of our children? Is it the TV or is it the Quran? If you think about it realistically, for many of us here, the only time where we consistently touched the Quran, where we consistently read the Quran, was when we were students at the masjid. That was the only time where every single day, by force or by choice, whichever it was, but every single day, we had some sort of a connection with the Quran. Because the minute we grew up and the minute we felt we were old enough and we walked out of the masjid to never come back again as a student, how many of us can say that weekly we consistently read the Quran? You know, daily, leave that to the side. Let's talk weekly. How many of us can say that once a week I sit down for X amount of time purely to read the Quran? How unfortunate is it that coming up to Ramadan, one of the things that will happen in our homes is the Quran will get taken down from its high shelf and dusted off. Why? Because nobody's touched it for the last 11 months. You know, the only time, if you think about it, the only time the Quran is used in our lives now, death. Death is sort of that little reminder that reminds us again that we are Muslim and that we have this thing called the Quran. And then we go to the masjid and everybody pretends to read a separa. Everybody just whizzes through it as if you know, they've been reading their whole life and they can finish the whole separa in 5 minutes. Because you see people who come in for a khatam, on the funeral, and they will sit down 5 minutes, and he's put his sipara away. He's put his sipara away because why? He's finished it. All he's done is he passed his finger over all the pages and made sure he touched every single word. That's about it. But that's the sort of limit that we have put on the Quran. That's the limit that we have put on our relationship with the Quran. And the third thing is obviously our salah. Salah is one thing that during Ramadan, everybody somehow makes the time to pray. Especially when it comes to Fajr, for example. Fajr, Maghrib. Although, even that for us has an ulterior motive. What is the ulterior motive? Food. Why? Because Maghrib, our food is linked to Maghrib. Our food is linked to Fajr. So that's probably what, if you think about it in terms of Maghrib time, for example. Maghrib time, throughout the whole year, even somebody who prays regularly Maghrib, if you were to ask him on a random day, what time Maghrib today, he'll say, right about 25, maybe 30. He won't be able to give you an exact time. Why? Because, you know, he gets here, he turns up on time. Hopefully some days he's a bit late, some days he's a bit early, but he gets here to pray. In Ramadan, you ask anybody what time Maghrib is. He will give you to the minute, to the second, what time Maghrib is. Why? Because it is linked with our food. It is linked with something that we want. It is linked with something that we want. What about the rest of the salah then? The rest of the salah is also linked with something that we want. In return of this salah, and in return of this good that we do, or we need to be doing, we are expecting something a lot bigger than an iftar meal from Allah. We are expecting Jannah from Allah in return for the good that we are presenting in front of Allah. And yet the only time that we can actually be punctual with it is when it's linked to our own need of food. That's the only time that we will remember exactly what time salah is. We will turn up on time. We will make sure, you know, generally when we go somewhere, nobody ever considers salah time. You know, you go from here to London, you set off in the winter especially. On your journey to London, on your journey there and back, all five salah will be over and done with by the time you've even hit the motorway. Why? Because salah is like one after another, literally dominoes in the winter. You know, you could wake up for Fajr, do wuzu, and have the same wuzu for Isha. Why? Because it's only like a period of 11, maximum 12 hours. Maximum 12 hours of the day where salah is sort of linked to. In the summer, for example, you have a much larger reach of salah. You know, Fajr, 4 o'clock in the morning. Isha, 11 o'clock at night. So it's spread out more over the day. But if you think about in the winter, for example, we travel. Do we ever stop to consider that, you know what, we are going from here, from A to B, salah time? You know, we will factor in that, oh, you know, on the way we will stop off at this point to have something to eat. If someone needs a bathroom, this is the point we will stop. But do we ever consider that, you know what, salah time it will also be at that time, so we will stop for salah? Do we ever sort of plan our day according to salah? Now going back to the topic of Ramadan. Now obviously, with Ramadan, there are a few things that we need to bear in mind. Ramadan, for every single person here, whether we consider ourselves to be learned, whether we consider ourselves to be practicing Muslim, or whether we consider ourselves to not be practicing at all, whichever sort of end of the spectrum we fall on, one piece that we need to have in mind, one sort of idea or one intention that we should always have in mind, is that this Ramadan you will do something different. You will make a change. Because that's what the month of Ramadan is for. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He prescribed fasting for us. He gave us fasting. He made fasting farz upon us for us to attain taqwa, for us to be able to attain this quality of taqwa. That's what fasting is for. And in Ramadan, I can guarantee that every single person here has some form of taqwa. And it doesn't take to look far. You know, for example, those of you that are old enough to work here, for example, or if you're at school, or even if you're retired, you sat at home, you and the buddy alone, at home, yet you're fasting. Nobody else is around, yet somehow you will keep yourself away from water. Somehow, throughout the whole course of the day, where you are sat in your office, at work, nobody's walking in, nobody's walking out, nobody will see you. And yet you somehow still manage to stay away from food and drink. That is, in essence, taqwa. Because that's the thing that's stopping you from eating and drinking. That's the thing that's telling you at lunchtime that, listen, sit your backside back down, you ain't got to eat anyway. That's the thing that's telling you not to eat, not to drink. In Ramadan, for example, you will have people who by mistake will take a sip of water and they will spit it out more violently than if they had drunk alcohol. It's water, it's halal. And yet the one thing that stops us from swallowing that water and make sure that we spit it back out is this taqwa. That's the thing that needs to stay with us after Ramadan. Ultimately, Ramadan needs to be about the end, not about the beginning. Not about the beginning. Ramadan needs to be about the end. The end meaning, what is it that after Ramadan we are going to walk away as? If before Ramadan, for example, you read no salah, if Ramadan was a time where you started to pray salah, if Ramadan was a time where you brought salah into your life, make sure it stays after Ramadan. If Ramadan was a time where you built a connection with the Quran, then make sure that that connection with the Quran stays. If Ramadan was a time where you built a connection with Allah, after Ramadan, make sure that that connection stays. The problem we have is before Ramadan has even begun, before Ramadan has even started, we have already planned our Eid day. And our Eid day does not consist of plans that include Allah. Our Eid day consists of plans of everything that goes against what Allah has told us. And yet we are starting Ramadan on this note. We are starting Ramadan on a note where we have already planned that Ramadan is going to end and then we will disobey Allah. That's not a way to start Ramadan. That's why I said Ramadan is not about the beginning. It's about the end. It's about the end product. At the end of the month, at the end of the month, how are you walking away from Ramadan? During Ramadan is our time to build that connection again. Build that relationship with Allah again. You know, you will have people, for example, I have spoken to people who after 1 week of smoking, 1 week of vaping, and now they can't live without it. You know, they spend a week smoking and then the week finishes and then you see them and they're buying their own fags and you think, why are you buying your own fags? Well, you know, you just started a week ago. She says, oh, I'm addicted, I can't do without it anymore. You think, a week of smoking got you addicted. 5 days, 6 days, 7 days of smoking and you classify yourself as addicted and now you feel that you can't do without. And yet a whole month of fasting and on Eid day I have never had someone turn up and say that they had to force themselves to eat because they were addicted to fasting. A whole month of Taraweeh and I never saw someone at night in the masjid on Eid night say, you know what, I can't go to sleep because my legs have got too much energy. I need to do the 20 rakats. I need to finish them, otherwise I'm going to get withdrawal symptoms. Why is it we never get addicted to something good? You know, during Ramadan, for example, we have this routine of Quran. We're going to sit down and we're going to read the Quran. Every single day, we will have people who will sit down, they will set a time, they will sit down, they will read for 30 days, 29 days, every single day they will sit down at that time to read. And then Eid day comes and that time finished. There's no addiction. There's no, they don't even remember that, you know what, at this time I used to sit down to read. That's it. Literally, Ramadan finishes, everything finishes. Why is that the case? It's because before Ramadan has even started, we've already made plans. We've already made plans that, you know what, I'm going to be good for this month. You know, Mr. Bob has already rang his girlfriend to say, 1 month, no token. Eid day, me and you, date time. Why? Why is it that you have put a pause to your sin for Ramadan? Ramadan isn't for you to put a pause to your sin. Ramadan is for you to finish your sin. Ramadan is the time where you build your relationship with Allah, where you cut off any link that you have to sin. And yet we will literally, in the build-up to Ramadan, in the build-up to Ramadan, we will have many of us who will already have planned, come Eid day, and this is what's going to happen. There's no mention of Salah on Eid day then. There's no part of our plan of each day where it says, okay, we're going to go do X, do Y, do Z, and then it's going to be Zahar time, so we need to come for Zahar. No. There's no mention of Salah in our plans for each day. Because we've already sort of setting off on the wrong foot. We've already setting off to fail. That is the one mentality that we need to change. That before Ramadan even begins, we need to make sure that we fix what we are approaching Ramadan with. We are approaching Ramadan to become better Muslims. We are approaching Ramadan so that we can build our connection with Allah. We are approaching Ramadan so we can build our connection with the Quran. That's what we need to be aiming for. The biggest, one of the other problems we have is come Ramadan, day one, we sit down and we bang out one full sabara. Day two, full sabara. We struggle through it. Literally, we do jihad through one sabara where we literally go through the trenches to finish the sabara. Because we haven't touched the Quran for the rest of the year, we struggle to read and we struggle and we struggle and we get to the end and we feel like, you know what? The hadith said that if somebody struggles to read, they will get double reward and we are going to definitely get double, forget double, we're going to get triple because that's how much we struggle to read. And then Ramadan finishes, but we can't sustain it. We can't sustain reading a para every day. Why? Because it takes up a big chunk of time. You know, usually during Ramadan, Asr to Maghrib, you need to kill that time. And the best thing you can think of is, you know what, I don't want to play games right now. I don't want to go chat to somebody right now. I just want to sit down. I've got no energy to move. So you know what, because I've got nothing else to do, I will sit down and read the Quran. From Asr to Maghrib, we will kill ourselves reading one zibara, reading one and a half, reading whatever it is that we can. Ramadan finishes. Even if we do pray Asr, for example, after Ramadan, straight after Asr is food time. You have your food, you're full of energy, you don't remember Allah anymore. The routine that we need to fix for Ramadan, set it down from now. Set it down from now. But the biggest advice I will give you is in that routine, make it realistic. Make it realistic. Don't set out with a routine so big that in Ramadan you maintain it because of that buzz of Ramadan and because you feel the hype of Ramadan and you maintain it and you stick with it. And then Ramadan finishes and then everything finishes. Why? Because you can't maintain it after Ramadan. So make a routine such that you can stick with it after Ramadan. Because remember what I said, it's not about the beginning, it's about the end. The end product of Ramadan. That's the routine that you need to make. That come Eid day, the routine you will have on Eid day will be the routine you will keep for the rest of the year. If, for example, if, mashallah, if somebody already reads, for example, every single day they read Quran, during Ramadan they increase their target a bit, mashallah, that's good. You know, normally somebody reads half a sipara, during Ramadan they increase it to one sipara, okay. But if normally you're not even touching the Quran, and then come Ramadan and you have set yourself a target of one para, one juz, or two juz because you feel very ambitious, you want to do two khatams this year, you're going to struggle with it. You're going to struggle, and yes, you will be rewarded for that struggle, but instead of that struggle, why not lower your bar a bit? Instead of putting the bar so high, lower it. Lower it. The hadith already tells us that instead of doing something in one big bang, do something small consistently. Do something small consistently. So instead, if you know that, you know what, every single day after Ramadan, I am going to sacrifice 15 minutes of my day to read the Quran. Every single day, I am going to set aside this 15 minutes. And it's going to be at this time. You know, you already set your time to say, you know what, every single night, when I come back from the masjid, after praying Isha, I am going to sit down, 15 minutes of Quran, full stop. Whether the world is falling apart or whether my house is blowing up, 15 minutes of my time, I am going to sit down to read the Quran before I go to bed. Set yourself that target. During Ramadan, before Ramadan, from now, work towards that target. During Ramadan, stick with the target. After Ramadan, continue with that target. Because that's a more realistic target. If you're going to set yourself a target of 3 hours every single day, I'm going to sit down to read the Quran. Day one after Ramadan,
you can't find 3 hours anymore. Why? Because that 3 hours that you found during Ramadan was the 3 hours you usually spend eating. You stopped eating. That's why you can find the extra time. Ramadan's finished, food's back on the menu. The 3 hours you were saving during Ramadan because of not eating, it's gone again. Now you need to find another 3 hours somewhere. Maybe day one you keep up with it, maybe day two you keep up with it. Day three, I can guarantee you, nobody after Ramadan is sitting down for 3 hours to read the Quran. Why? You wake up in the morning, you've gone to work, you finish up from work 5-6 o'clock, you've come home, you're already spent, you're already shattered. At 6 o'clock in the evening, if I come back from work, for example, at 7 o'clock, I usually get home from work. I've been out of the house since 10 o'clock in the morning. At 7 o'clock, if I get home and somebody says to me, listen, the next 3 hours now you need to sit down to read the Quran, I know guaranteed half an hour of reading and I will be asleep. Whether I've eaten or not eaten, whatever it is that needs to be done, but half an hour and I will be knocked out. I will literally probably fall asleep on the Quran. Why? Because it's not realistic. You know, after a long, hard day at work, it probably won't happen. But set yourself a target that you know you will be able to maintain after Ramadan. Set that target from now. Make that target now and work with that target from now. If you know that, you know what, I can spare half an hour, stick with that half an hour. Come Ramadan, if you can increase that half an hour, increase it. If you don't want to increase it, don't. But make sure that that half an hour stays with you till next Ramadan. Because then next Ramadan, you need to be a bit more ambitious. You need to be a bit more ambitious. During Ramadan, for example, if you can find the time to read all 5 salah in the masjid, whether that be Fajr at whatever time it is, and whether that be Isha at whatever time it is, if you can find the time to read all 5 in the masjid, then I can guarantee you can read. You can find the time after Ramadan to make sure you read the 5 at least at home. Maybe you can't get to the masjid, but at least you can make sure you read at home. Obviously, your ultimate aim is that you need to be in the masjid for salah. And I'm sure here we're all men, whether or not it's 21st century, and whether or not there's a big spectrum of gender. But I'm sure here everybody can agree, we're all men. The place for men to pray is in the masjid. That's the place for men to pray. So if you can find the time during Ramadan to read the 5 salah, you can find time to read the extra 20 rakat of Taraweeh. I'm sure outside of Ramadan you can find the time to pray those 5 at least. Nobody's telling you to read the extra 20. Read those 5 at least though. Because that's the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. You know, even if you, you know, a lot of times when I mention this, about setting lower expectations, you know, we have these big expectations and we raise the bar so high for what we need to do and how, the good that we need to do. A lot of times when I say we should lower the bar, some people have a funny face on. You know, why are you lowering the bar? We should be doing more good. We should be aiming higher. We should be doing more good. If that was the case, we would still have 50 salah on our head. If that was the case of raising the bar as high as possible, we would still have 50 salah to pray a day. But what happened? When the Prophet ﷺ went to Allah to get the salah that we pray today, to get the gift that Allah gave to him, Allah started off with 50. That 50 salah a day is what was prescribed for us to pray. Now you tell me right now, how many people pray the 5 that, you know, it was lowered down and down and down and down and down to the 5? How many of us stick to that 5? How many of us make sure that we pray that 5? That 50, I think if we had to read 50, I think the only person in the masjid would be the imam. If that. I think you'd probably have to keep 6 imams. They would alternate. Each salah would be a different imam. Because I don't think even the imam would be able to stay here for all 50. Because then what would happen is he would start in the morning, the next night he would be finishing the 50. Because that's all he'd be doing, just up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Your imam salah would be a lot skinnier than he is now if he had to read 50 salah here. But Allah lowered the bar for us. Allah lowered the bar all the way down to 5 at the request of the Prophet ﷺ. The bar was lowered all the way down to 5. The least we can do is get turn up to those five at least. The least we can do is pray those five. But that needs to start from now. That needs to start from now. The aim this year for Ramadan should be that starting from now, not starting from tomorrow, not starting when Ramadan starts, starting from now, we set ourselves a realistic routine, a realistic target for Ramadan. That this Ramadan, I'm going to spend half an hour every single day praying the Quran, reading the Quran. Every single day I am going to make sure that the bare minimum I do is the five salah that has been prescribed for me. The five salah that are farz on me. That's the bare minimum I will do. Because if you think about it realistically, you have so many ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that mention regarding people who miss salah. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that person is not even a believer. That person is not even a believer who misses salah. There are certain scholars like the Hanabila, for example, from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who are of the opinion that if someone misses salah on purpose, they are out of the fold of Islam. They are out of the fold of Islam. How many of us can say that, you know what, five times a day we have probably left the fold of Islam? According to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, we five times a day become kafir. Five times a day. Why? Because we purposefully miss our salah. And it's not a case of we don't know. We know what time Fajr is. We know what time Zahar is. We know what time Asr is. We know what time Maghrib is. We know what time Isha is. We know we need to pray all five, and yet we still somehow find an excuse to not pray. That is literally what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was talking about. That people who will purposefully leave salah. You think about your day. You know, for many people, they come up with the excuse of, oh, I forgot. We never ever forget something important. You have a doctor's appointment. You are not forgetting your doctor's appointment. You have an optician's appointment. You have a reminder in your phone and your calendar. Everywhere you have your reminder set because of your appointment. Because you find that important. And yet salah time comes and goes every single day, and yet we don't remember. It's not something that should be forgotten. Salah should be the thing that we wake up in the morning and we already have our schedule in our head of salah. And then everything else fits around it. But if you think about our routine, we wake up in the morning, our routine is already set on work. Our routine, we already know that, okay, I need to get out of bed, breakfast, work, after work. That's it, that's our routine. Work, before work, after work, that's our routine. When we wake up in the morning, our routine should be Fajr, Zahar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. What falls around these salana? How do I make my day work around this, around these sort of fixed posts? If you're going from here to London, for example, you don't just make a line from here to London with your point and start walking on that line. You get on the motorway and you follow the sign for London. Maybe at one point you might be driving in the complete opposite direction to London. Why? Because the motorway goes this way, it's going to switch you around somewhere else at another junction, at another exit. It's going to switch you around onto the right road. That's how salah should be. That's how your salah should be. That your salah is already fixed. Throughout your whole day, your salah is already fixed. They are the fixed points of your journey. Everything else needs to work around it. Whether you feel that it's going in the complete opposite direction of what you had planned, but that's where you need to be. You know, if Maghrib time comes and you've already got plans to do something, then your plan shouldn't supersede Maghrib. Your plan shouldn't be more important than Maghrib. Maghrib salah comes first. And the only way we get to that point is we put the importance of it. You know, the Imam Sahib, whoever sits here to talk to you, he can talk till death. He can talk till his mouth runs so dry that he sounds like a frog. But literally, if you decide that, you know what, I ain't going to give it any importance. He can talk for England, but it will not happen. We ourselves are the ones who need to take that first step of change. We are the ones who need to make that intention. We are the ones who need to say, you know what, I am going to make sure that this Ramadan is a good Ramadan. This Ramadan is the Ramadan where I look back at and say, you know what, this is the Ramadan that changed my life. This is the Ramadan where I came back onto the straight path. If you think about it, that every single day in Salah when we stand to pray, every single day we ask Allah for one very specific thing. Every single day, every single rak'at, we ask Allah for ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. And then we walk out to the masjid and we completely miss the straight path. It's not that the straight path isn't there. The straight path is there. The straight path has always been there. And yet, although we ask Allah to be put onto the straight path, we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. Why? Because then we will have problems. Because then we need to make sure we are here in the masjid for salah. We are here to pray. Then we need to make sure that we are going against what our desires are telling us. We need to go against what it is that we want, and rather we need to go after what it is Allah wants. That's why we shy away from it. Because every single day we ask Allah for that. Every single day we ask Allah for it. Every single day we ask Allah for guidance. Every single day we ask Allah that, oh Allah, put us on the straight path. And yet, we still manage to find the time to go away from that straight path. That straight path is the muadhin who stands here five times a day to do the adhan. That is him calling you back to what it is you ask Allah for. How many of us can say we listen to what he says? When he says, Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah, how many of us can say that we actually turn up then? During Ramadan, the salah that we get into our routine, that is the exact same salah that we need to be praying outside of Ramadan. During Ramadan, the Allah that we worship is the exact same Allah after Ramadan. Nothing changes. In an ideal world, the only difference that should have been with Ramadan and before Ramadan, the only difference that we should be able to feel is that in Ramadan I fast consistently. I fast every single day, one after the other. Outside of Ramadan and in Ramadan, that's the only difference that there should be. The salah, there should be no difference. The only difference with salah should be I read 20 rakats of Taraweeh after Isha instead of the usual 2, 4, 6, 8 that I usually read as Tahajjud. Instead, now I am reading my Taraweeh. That's the only difference that you should feel when it comes to your Salah. Not that Salah is something completely new now. Not that fasting is something completely new now. Not that your relationship with the Quran is something completely new now. These are the three things that we need to set a routine on for Ramadan from now. But that routine needs to be one that we are going to keep after Ramadan. If during Ramadan, for example, we find the time during our work day to pray our Zuhr Salah, then after Ramadan you can also find the time. If during Ramadan you find the time to pray Asr, for example, then after Ramadan you need to find the time to pray Asr. If during Ramadan you find the time to pray Maghrib, you find the time for Maghrib, you find the time for Iftar, then after Ramadan you should also be able to do the exact same. If during Ramadan you can find the time to turn up to the masjid, to pray your Isha, to pray your Taraweeh, at least keep some of those rakats behind, innit? You know, the funniest bit is during Ramadan we have the big debate on 28. And the one thing that I can say regarding this debate is completely unfounded. Why? Because the hadith that mentions 8 talks about outside of Ramadan. And yet, how many of us can say that we read our 9 rakats of Isha, forget the 8 rakats of Tahajjud? Forget the 8 rakats of Tahajjud. How many of us can say we read our 9 rakats of Isha? How many of us can say we turned up to read those at least? The only thing that we should bear in mind is that the routine we make this Ramadan, the routine that we set ourselves this Ramadan, is the routine that needs to stay after Ramadan. That is the ultimate aim of this Ramadan. That with our Quran, with the connection that we have with the Quran, whatever it is that we decide we want to read, if we decide, you know what, I'm going to do half an hour, we're feeling ambitious and we go for the whole hour. We're not feeling as ambitious and we go 15 minutes. Whatever it is that you feel you can manage in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, fix that routine from now. Don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for Ramadan. Fix it from now. And the only reason I say that is last week in Jummah I was doing bayan and I'd mentioned how, you know, we have these big plans for Ramadan and in Ramadan I'm going to do this and in Ramadan I'm going to do this. Who's guaranteed we're going to reach Ramadan? You know, I could walk out of here, get in my car, decide to go home. On the way, get involved in a pileup, probably be the cause of it, and be dead. Nobody's guaranteed me Ramadan. Nobody's guaranteed anyone here Ramadan. But anyway, I was mentioning, I did Jummah Bayan. After Jummah Bayan finished, I got a little note from one of the guys sat at the back. He said, My dad passed away three days ago. And he'd bought the khajur for Ramadan. He'd already planned for Ramadan. And yet he would no longer be here for the dates that he bought himself. That's how short life is. You know, you have, for example, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The name I can't remember, the Prophet ﷺ, he asked one of the Sahaba. He said to the Sahaba, he said, What do you think of life? And Sahabi said, he said, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't know if I will be alive to see the evening. And when I go to sleep in the evening, I don't know whether I will be alive in the morning. And now if you think about that, that is probably a lot longer than what we think of as life. You know, that's quite short actually, what we think of as life. You know, we've got plans for 5 years in the future. We've got plans for next week. We've got plans for next month. We've made some very big, big plans. And the Sahabi was talking about how he considers literally a 12-hour slot. That's how long he thinks of life, 12 hours. That when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't know if he will be alive in the evening. And when he goes to sleep in the evening, he doesn't know if he will be alive in the morning. And you know what the Prophet ﷺ said to him? The Prophet ﷺ said to him, you think of life as being too long. You have very big ambitions of life. The Prophet ﷺ said to him that when I breathe in, I don't know if I will be alive to breathe back out. And when I breathe out, I don't know if I will be alive to breathe back in. That's how short life is. That literally we have no idea when it will be our turn to kick the bucket. Literally. No one here can say that I will be here this Ramadan. No one here can say that they will be here for Eid. No one here can say that they will be here for Hajj. Especially considering when we make plans for Hajj, we have like a 4-5 year plan that, you know what, in 5 years I'm going to go for Hajj. In 4 years I'm going to go for Hajj. Next year, not this year, next year I'm going to go for Hajj. Because we have these plans. No one's guaranteed you that far. And yet when we make our plans, we always consider that, you know what, this Ramadan I'm going to change. Up till Ramadan, no change. This Ramadan though, I'm going to change. Next year, I'm going to go for Hajj. After Hajj, Dari is going to stay. I'm going to become a 5-time Namazi. I'm going to become a Allah Wala. When? In 2 years' time, when I go for Hajj. Why not now? Because 2 years' time for Hajj, you won't be there. No one's guaranteed you 2 years later Hajj. The time to change is now. The time to change is now. That routine that you want to set for Ramadan, set it from now. Because imagine how unfortunate it would be that if we consider that in Islam, for example, we are rewarded for our intentions. We are rewarded for our intentions. And our intention is that on the first day of Ramadan, I am going to become a pakka Musliman. On the first day of Ramadan, I am going to become a good guy. Until then, there's no word of this good guy. The good guy is coming on the first of Ramadan. Now imagine you die before Ramadan starts. You die before Ramadan starts. You never got to see your intention come true. You never got to see your intention. You didn't get to see your intention. And yet if you consider that, you know what, you make the change now. That from now I am going to be a good guy. From now I'm going to be a good guy, and you actually become that good guy that you are planning for in Ramadan from now, I can guarantee you, you die before Ramadan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will already reward you for that. Why? Because you've already made your intention and you've already started acting on it. You've already started acting on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will 100% reward you for that. And yet if you've already made your intention of next month, next week, who's to guarantee that you will be here next week? You know, if that's the case, then I make intention for every good thing to happen to me. And every good thing that I can think of, I will start next week. Every good deed that is under the sun, I will start next week. Why is it next week? Why not today? Why not now? Why can it not be that we make the change now? You know, if somebody says to you that, you know what, if you start right now, you can earn £1 million, and you say, no, I'm going to wait till next week. If it came down to it, where somebody said to you, listen, you do this thing starting from now, you will get £1 million, you will have said, I started yesterday. You don't need to worry about me starting now. I started last year. You owe me back pay for the last year. But when it comes to good things, you want to wait till next week, wait till Ramadan, wait till Friday, wait till Hajj. Why do we always then sort of elongate it? Why don't we just get on with it? Just start from now. You make your intention from now that, you know what, I'm going to be the good guy that I want to see in Ramadan, the good guy that I want to see after Ramadan, I want to see now. I want to see today. I want to see you right this second. That's the good guy that I am going to be, full stop. Not waiting till Ramadan, not waiting till after Ramadan, no. From now. From now, set yourselves into the routine of praying salah. Set yourself into the routine of reading the Quran. Set yourself into the routine of praying tahajjud. Because when you stand on the first tarawih, and you stand there and your legs are hurting, and you're waiting till the imam says Allahu Akbar for ruku. Why? Because your legs are hurting. Get into that routine from now. Start praying from now. That's when you will see.